Psalm 84. I will be extremely brief, but I do want to leave a few thoughts from this text. I spent most of my day writing an article for Current that Dr. Stephen Pollock requested me to write, but as the day wore on, I thought maybe I'll just preach my article. It might be easier, but my mind was drawn here, and I know I was here a few weeks back in verse 7, but I want to read with you verse 3, Psalm 84, verse 3. Here's the psalmist is longing, envying those that are near the house of God. Psalm 84, verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. When I was a child, there were a number of occasions where my sister and I would travel in the summer to spend some time with one of my mom's sisters, with her and her husband on their farm. It's about a 90-minute drive away, which in American terms doesn't seem all that far away, but when you're a child in the context of Northern Ireland, you never drive 90 miles anywhere. So it felt like a long, long trip down to County Down, where their farm was just on the, if you've ever never been there, but you may have heard of Mourne. Mr. Mercer would have referred to Mourne regularly, having ministered there. And on the back side of Mourne, the Mourne Mountains run right into the sea. So on the back side, this farm was located with the Mourne Mountains in the distance on beautiful pasture land in that part of County Down. And so we would spend maybe a week or two there on occasions through our childhood, and I have all sorts of memories of exploring that property, sometimes getting up really early in the morning. You know, you have to look back and you see the youthful optimism. I was, I don't know, 8 or thereabouts years of age, and trying to catch rabbits. You know, running after these wild rabbits, trying to catch them at like 5:30 in the morning, you know. But some of these memories, as well as, you know, exploring all the property. They had, I was either 5 or 10,000 hens. We would help with the cleaning of the eggs and so on as well on occasion, and all sorts of other things that you would get up to on that expansive property, at least it seemed to me when I was young. But another memory that I have is of the swallows. The stables, there are numerous stables around and barns, they would keep the top half of the doors open on these stables, and the swallows would come in, they'd swoop into those stables, and they'd have their nests, and they would raise their young in those nests before that they would eventually depart again in the fall. And it's fascinating. As I got older and I realized the kind of characteristics of swallows, you know, the utterly amazing thing to think of these tiny little creatures, so small, just swooping in, all these memories of these tiny little birds swooping in and raising their young. And then when the fall would come, they would make their way south as they would migrate away from Northern Ireland, away for the winter, as any sensible person might do if they had the opportunity. And they travel south through Ireland, into France, eastern Spain, across the Mediterranean, to Morocco, all the way down through the Sahara, across rainforests, and eventually spend the winter in South Africa. I don't know how far that is. It must be at least 8,000 miles that these tiny little creatures would travel, spend the winter there, and then at some point in the spring, pick up again and fly all the way back, some 6 weeks or more, all the way back to Northern Ireland to find a little spot in a stable or a barn or a place like that to have their young and raise them before they would take off again in a few months. Extraordinary behavior. And they're mentioned here, it may not be precisely a swallow, but a swallow-type bird, certain kind of types of birds that are in the swallow family. And this is what the psalmist observes: a swallow, a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even thine altars. Some men, like Adam Clark, think that surely they were not having their nests in the altars, and that couldn't be the case. Well, I would agree with that, but that doesn't mean to say that it's not kind of representative of the entire place of worship. Somewhere in the tabernacle or in the temple, depending on the timing of the psalm, these little creatures would make a nest for themselves and raise their young right there. I want to leave a few thoughts with you. If I was to take the words of verse 3, I would just focus in on lay her young, where she may lay her young. And note with you, first of all, as a transient bird, she must find a place for her young. The swallow, to some degree, can exist without a nest. They spend their time in the air. They feed in the air. They're constantly in the air. The only time they perch is when it's time to rest. They spend all day constantly in the air. And the only, really one of the only reasons to have a nest or build a nest is for the sake of the young. They themselves don't need a nest. They can perch somewhere high and sleep there, rest there, and then do the same thing all over again the next day, feed themselves, all the little insects they catch in midair. I mean, even the movement of them, extraordinary little things to watch as you're a child growing up. But she has to find a place when she's raising her young. And so it is for believers. Many times adults, they make decisions based upon themselves and what's best for them. And they don't think about the consequences of their decisions to their children. So adults can adapt and live and exist in certain contexts in which their children cannot thrive in that context. And for example, you think of the man who decides to take a job somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's good pay, good salary, all the rest of it, but there's no church. There's no place of worship. And they bring the family there. There's no community. There's no support. There's no preaching of the word. And the children are the ones that are most succumb to the detriment of that experience. And I could give you stories that I know of the experience of various families and children because they set a focus upon money or comfort rather than the spiritual needs of the family. So she has to find a place for her young, a place where she may lay her young. And so adults must keep this in mind. Keep it in mind. Your children have different needs than you. And you must find a place where your young are safely kept. And here, it's ideal spiritually. They're in the house of God. I mean, if birds can find a place there, how much more should the Christian be endeavoring to bring their children and lay them in close proximity to where the gospel is presented? This is the envy of the psalmist. It's not that swallows merely have a nest. It's because of where these particular swallows have their nest. And he wishes that he could be there. Secondly, as a vulnerable bird, she must find a safe place for her young. The swallows have no ability to really defend their young. And they have often chosen human structures to build their nests. And that has a lot of advantages, especially if those places still have human activity, which was the case where I first really observed them and watched them carefully and noted their behavior. There are constant movements of people. Well, what does that do? It keeps the predators away. The movements of humans, the movements of men around the area, keep all the foxes aren't going to be there, the other things that might try to come in or in any way be a threat, cats and all the rest of it, may be kept back simply by the presence of the people that are around the area. And so it was even in this case. The priests moving around, the people moving around, that keeps all the activity of threats away. And so there's a great advantage to this. And this is what the Christian church ought to be. She ought to be a place where children are safer. They're safer. Now, they could be, in some contexts, kept safe by the protection of their parents. But it's safer. It's safer to be here. And that's what the church ought to be. Now, there's always been, and there will continue to be, stories of abuse and sin and wickedness that goes on in places of worship and even in Christian churches. And I would encourage you, every so often as it comes to mind, or you see another headline, pray that God protects this church from any sort of nonsense like that. Keeps wicked people out. I often, I say this to you publicly. I wouldn't give you specific instances, but I often have that psalm come into my mind. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. And that comes to mind, and I offer it as a prayer to God. I don't know what this person's intentions are. I don't know why they've come here. But sometimes you may get a feeling at times, and you offer that prayer that God would protect the house where His people come to gather, especially children, little ones who come into the house of God. The church is to offer spiritual safety, a place with battle-hardened spiritual warriors that watch for and instruct the young. We have them. We have people who've gone through the battle. Some of you, you pray, you labor, you teach, you instruct, and you're battle-hardened. You may not want to put yourself in that bracket that our brother referred to, some of the older, not old, but the older ones, the ones that go back a little while. You're battle-hardened. And you need to be praying for the next generation, looking after them and imparting what you can. A place where Satan is continually opposed. That's what the church should be, always opposing Satan and his works. A place where he will come in with his ideologies, trying to bed them into the lives of another generation, and they are opposed, confronted, attacked by those who wield the sword of the Spirit. A place where Christ is continually presented in his person and work. Here they are, laying her young, close to the place of the greatest representation of the gospel that existed. This is what the church should be. Yes, our children can hear about it at home, but they should have these constant experiences of the gospel put before them in the house of God. And finally, as a predominantly aerial bird, her purpose is to raise her young to fly in the heavenlies. Swallows spend most of their time in the air. They're always in the air. They're happiest in the air. Yes, they have to nest. And yes, there comes at the sunset where they perch themselves. Often you see them, especially just before they migrate. You can see them perched along the telegraph lines. And you just know they're kind of itching, ready to get themselves prepared for this long journey thousands of miles away to South Africa. They're preparing themselves. They're going to spend most of the time in the air, catching flies and bugs along the way, swooping down and catching water where they can along rivers and so on. But they have this point each year where they lay their young. But they're going to raise these young to fly in the heavenlies. This is what we do for our children. This is why the church exists. It's part of the reason our VBS. It's not just to teach them the Bible. It's so that these little ones will realize they need Jesus Christ. And it is by their union to Jesus Christ that they are seated in heavenly places, that they can live in the heavenlies and one day be taken to be with Christ forevermore. That's her goal. She has her little ones, but they're not going to stay in the nest. They're going to fly and soar and swoop. That's what we want. Our little ones, our children, even the children God has put in our care this week. We have 2 days. Let's be praying very much that the Lord will work in their young hearts and that he might bring them into union with himself. And just as we heard tonight, no accident, Sunday school, being taught about the Lord Jesus Christ and the influence that had on our brother and the entire family. That's the kind of thing that we pray for and long for to be repeated over and over again. May the Lord bless his word. We're going to sing and then I'll bring a few matters for prayer before you.